It is 24 minutes after 10. My goodness. Well, that's because Don was willing to relent and join us at a new time today. Don Clark joins us from Garden Valley, Texas. Don is a biochemist and a member of the board of Creation Moments. Don lives in Garden Valley, which is a beautiful area of actually East Texas, and has a vineyard there and makes wines. He's a vigneron. But what he isn't is an Don, I have a question for you. This story is about the universe and the expansion and dark matter. What's the difference between an astrophysicist and a cosmologist?
Well, David can answer that question through his searching.
I don't think so.
An astrophysicist would probably be one that does physics in space. He's not actually doing the physics in space, is trying to figure out how space is constructed from a physical point of view. So a cosmologist is just basically the study of the stars.
So it could be like us reading an article about the expansion of the universe. Then we are studying the universe in this sense.
Cosmologists focus on the universe as a whole, including its origin, evolution, and large-scale structure.
No, we're making great use of AI this morning on Broken Road.
Yes,
Radio.
We are. Yeah. And an astrophysicist concentrates on the physical properties, like Don just said.
Well, when I first went to UC San Diego my freshman year in college, my major was aerospace mechanics. No, uh-huh. I never knew what that was. But it sounded nice, you know.
you weren't in it long enough, obviously.
Well, I switched to political science in a hurry, so that's what happened there.
Yeah, well, he figured out that wasn't your bailiwick.
Well, he thought it was, whatever it is, but I don't know what that was.
But I was an engineering major for 3 days, Don, when I went to college. And then the instructor gave a quiz and met me in the hallway afterwards, and he said, "How do you feel about history?"
Oh, yes, we do change our majors. I mean, I was in architecture when I first went to college. That was my major. That lasted a semester, and I said, you know, this isn't, it wasn't, at that time, they weren't using computer design. So I had less interest.
I think they just invented electrons at that time. They were still working on computers.
Computers were large back then.
Okay. All righty. Well, we're going to look deep into the universe, or maybe not as deep as we thought, because it's expanding at a slower rate, according to new research here. And I'm not sure how this speaks to the age of the universe, because we've talked about this a number of times. And it has to do with creation and a Big Bang and dark matter. And I still don't know what dark matter is either. So help me, Don. Help me.
Oh, my goodness. So, let's start maybe with the Big Bang. And the Big Bang, the naturalistic viewpoint of the Big Bang is that there was nothing and then there was something called the universe. And it exploded from a singularity, or commonly called nothing. And somehow that expanded. And as matter and stuff were being generated in this expansion, it created stars were born, and out of that, you know, planets. And now
would have been the only event that ever happened nowhere.
Yeah, exactly.
That's, see, I see why I don't understand this stuff. Do you see that?
Yes. And so dark matter, they postulate, because you can't see dark matter. If the matter is dark, we can't see it. If it's lit up like a star, then we can see it. But if it's not lit up, we just assume that it's there based on some physical properties that we see out in space. And so what does this article have to do with anything? Well, these folks in North Korea, Young Wook Lee and his cohorts at the Yonsei University in South Korea, have been coming up with a new model for universe expansion, and they have are essentially trying to put together a 3D model of the universe, capturing data on millions of galaxies and quasars. And so to date, they have about 15 million galaxies in their database, and galaxies and quasars, and sometime in the future, they'll have 50 million. And as they put this into their computer models, they will, you know, have greater ability to say where we came from and where we're going. The data that they're using, though, is that they're looking at, as well as the galaxies and the quasars, they're looking at type 1A supernovas. And type 1A supernovas happen when a white dwarf blows up, essentially, and in a binary star system. And that light from that explosion, it was thought to be constant.
That would mean a white dwarf with just one planet, right? A binary system?
A binary system is two stars.
Two stars, okay.
Together, and one of them explodes. Mm. And it contracts on itself, and it gets, it's called, white dwarf, because it gets smaller, and it contracts on itself and then eventually explodes. And that's what causes the supernova. A supernova, a nova is an exploded star. So a supernova is a big exploded star, if you will. And so you've got standard cosmology, if you will, or astrophysics or whatever, would say that, hey, the light from these type of stars or supernovas is constant, and we can use them as standards because we know how much light they're producing. And if the light from these supernovas is constant over time, then we can use them to measure distances in the universe. But there's one problem. These folks from South Korea said, well, wait a minute, these supernovas are not constant. Matter of fact, the light seems to change, and if that is the case, then you can't really say anything about the distance of galaxies or, you know, these stars, for example, and thereby place things in a three-dimensional space that you would like to place them in order to get a grasp of what's out there, you know, in space. And so what does that do, you know, to the Big Bang model? Well, these guys, these folks said, hey, it's instead of the universe expanding, the expansion rate seems to be slowing down. And as a matter of fact, it's decelerating. So that means that it's not expanding as fast as we thought it was expanding based on the Big Bang model. And that is a problem, because now you've got to rethink, okay, why is that happening? And these folks postulate that, well, it's happening because there isn't as much black matter out there, and or the black matter seems to be disappearing. And so we're not getting the expansion that we thought we were getting. And the universe actually may be beginning to start its decline in contraction.
So the suggestion is that this dark matter was propelling things outward?
Yeah, but the dark matter was, yes, somehow helping.
Like an energy source, yeah.
To cause this expansion in that. That doesn't seem now to be the case. Now,
well, I have another question. If it seems like we're out of gas and the universe is slowing down, there must be resistance of some kind rather than have it going at a steady rate forever.
Okay. Well, think of an explosion, for example. I mean, you know, you explode something and the force of the explosion is pushing things out from the center of the explosion. And so maybe at the start of this singularity, the Big Bang, that didn't have as much explosive force as they thought it did. And hence, you know, maybe there's not as much black matter as we originally thought, or the black matter's disappearing. At any rate, the conclusion is if things appear to be slowing down and the galaxies aren't moving away from each other as much as we thought they were moving away, assuming that they are moving away, of course, is a problem, because now if things slow down and actually stop moving away, then what is hypostulated, thought will happen is that we're going to have the big crunch. That is the universe.
A contraction. Everything will reverse and go back.
Everything is reversed and all of matter comes back.
Well, then we'll finally find out where it started.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, where is the
here we are, we'll say.
Okay. So what does this have to do with creation and, creation models and things? We know from Scripture that the heavens, expand, that is part of Scripture, that the heavens have expanded. We know, for example, that everything was put into place by the sixth day. Matter of fact, the stars were put into place on the fourth day of creation. How does that fit in with the Big Bang? There's some suggestion that, things happened really quickly and things, moved very, very fast initially when God spoke. And thereby, we've got different type of physics going on very early on, like microseconds or, picoseconds after God spoke. And so maybe it followed a Big Bang model, or maybe God just created things in position, relatively speaking, already formed. And other studies have suggested that, we're looking at this distant galaxy, which should look younger than it is, but it looks older than it's supposed to look. And so it's like, why is that? Why does that galaxy, and it's spiral galaxies in particular, why does that spiral galaxy have so much spiral to it? I mean, why does it look old when it's supposed to be new, depending, based on where we think that galaxy is out in space, and based on the Big Bang model, the Big Bang, and with others? I mean, there's so much assumptions that go into stuff like this. It's just
well, there are two courses of action here, as I say. And by the way, they've observed 15 million different galaxies and quasars. So keeping track of all this is a monumental task by itself. But to go back to Genesis 1 and see what it says about how God created the universe, you either have to be amazed at how God did things and be curious and see if you can put two and two together. But it's already right there for you. On the other hand, you tend to take what we know of science and retroactively put limits on God, on what he could have done to make it run like we think it should run. you take one course of action or the other, and evolution has taken the second route, I think.
Yeah, well, evolution is man's attempt to explain things without God. Mm. And so they say, okay, you know, science should be able to figure this out, and we'll come up with this model of Big Bang. But the Big Bang assumes that there's birth of stars and birth of planets and birth of galaxies. And so the deeper you look out in space, which is another assumption, the deeper you look out in space, yeah, the younger things should look, because that light from way out, you know, in space is old, supposedly. But that doesn't take into consideration what space is made of and how space affects the speed of light, for example.
Well, Einstein spoke to that, correct?
Yeah, he did. And, you know, space is warped. Space is warped around mass. So the more mass you have, the more warped space is. So we often think of space as being empty, that there's nothing out there. And there, you know, there might not be very much matter in between, you know, major galaxies. But we now know, just looking at matter, just trying to figure out what an atom is, you know, okay, when Niels Bohr and Einstein were discussing these things, you know, they said, well, you know, Niels Bohr, of course, came up with a model for a hydrogen atom, that it had a proton and it had a neutron, an electron, and the electron revolved around the proton, and that was the start of the atomic model. Well, we now know that, gee, the proton is made up of these things we call quarks, and, you know, we got protons and we got neutrons, and depending on whether it's a proton that has a positive charge or a neutron that has no charge, it depends on the orientation of the quarks and the spin and all of this other stuff. And you break down, okay, so what's a quark? Well, a quark seems to be just rotating stuff. And matter of fact, it just seems to be vibrations.
Stuff would be the scientific term, right?
Yeah, yeah, stuff is the scientific term.
Yeah, and, well, you get to a point where you don't know what to call it. You gotta make up a name.
So, yeah, and of course we got gluons that hold everything, you know, together.
Oh, gluons, okay.
Yeah, gluons, and so you got all this. But when you break it down, it's just vibrations in space. Well, that means that space is everything, and that the matter that we see is just vibrations. And of course, you know, you build up atoms, and then, you know, you have the sun, for example, that is a nuclear reaction, that is a fusion reaction, actually, where you have hydrogen atoms bombarding each other and creating deuterium and tritium.
All that research into atoms seems to verify and validate not only what Einstein said, but what we're observing in the universe. And you know, it just came to me. E equals mc squared.
Yes, which is what?
Energy and matter are related. In fact, they're the same thing at different stages.
They are in a different phase. That's exactly right.
So
where did the energy come from?
Yeah, well, I think I know.
Okay.
God, it says God spoke.
God spoke.
That's vibration. So that's energy.
Vibration. You know, and this is the marvelous thing. He gives us so many clues. It's just amazing. You know, he created Earth to be a microcosm of heaven, right? I mean, we look at Earth and we're saying, well, you know, I don't know if this was is heaven, you know, this looks like heaven very much. But the fact that we have the capability of speaking, and we understand now what speaking means, when you speak, what do? You vibrate air molecules, and that produces sound, sound waves, right? And the sound waves then hit somebody else's eardrum, and they can understand, hopefully, if you're speaking the same language.
But see, that's saying. The process, because it starts with an idea that comes from somewhere, a concept. Maybe there's a need you have. You need to fill the need somehow, and your mind works to develop something that you then communicate to other people. Maybe craftsmen who create a tool or an object that serves the need. This is a logical process, but it starts with a concept, an idea, goes through the energy state, spoken or written down, and then matter results. Now, it's not inventing matter, but it's repurposing matter to serve a function, which itself seemed, would it be fair to say that everything physical had its inception in the spiritual?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm. I mean, that is one of my premises, that the physical is a representation of the spiritual. Mm. And so, you know, of course, God is spirit. So, you know, everything that we see, I mean, his spoken word. Now, you know, we can build houses, we can build roads, we can build airplanes, you know, we can use matter around us to do things that we need to have done, make our life a little easier. We can make machines. You know, I can use a tractor with a sprayer on it to spray my vines versus me out there, you know, sprinkling antifungal on the vines by hand. Yeah, you know, so we can make tools. Because why? Because we are made in God's image. You don't see that rabbit, for example, doing things like that. Now, a rabbit's going to do things that God has programmed a rabbit to do. It's going to build a burrow and, you know, might be underground, might be, you know, in the bush or somewhere. It's going to build a nest and then, you know, have little baby rabbits and maybe a lot of rabbits. But the rabbit's going to go around eating vegetation, you know, grass and various other things. And that's what the rabbit was designed to do. And then there was another animal that's going to come around and use the rabbit as food. For example, it could be a fox or whatever. But that's the design that God made from the very beginning, you know, since when he spoke. Now, from the very beginning, actually, one animal wasn't killing another animal. Every animal was a vegetarian. But after man sinned, that brought death into the whole equation. And of course, you know, the wages of sin is death. So even the poor rabbit now is a predator. There are predators that will eat the rabbit where there weren't predators before. But all that to say is that this was designed from the very beginning. God spoke the universe into existence. He spoke the galaxies into existence. He spoke the Milky Way galaxy into existence. He spoke Earth into existence. And he put us on Earth as his special creation in order to worship him, the ultimate goal. But in order to, hey, you know, I'm putting you here on Earth so that figure things out, have fun, you know, use the brain that I gave you to figure things out. And where man gets into problems is he eliminates God from the equation. And so if you don't start from a point of view that, hey, this is intelligently designed and God spoke things into existence, and maybe this galaxy way out in space that we think should be a lot younger isn't younger because God spoke it into existence all at the same time. And so all the galaxies are the same age. And, you know, the Milky Way galaxy is the same age as the Andromeda galaxy and so forth and so on. And so when creationists hear that that galaxy looks old, we say, yes, it is. It's just as old as our galaxy. So we're not upset. But the evolutionist is upset because it disrupts his model and it says something different, that we didn't evolve after all.
So everything we see, as Paul writes, speaks loudly of the creation. All you got to do is open your eyes, and it's a pattern. It's clues. It's evidence that God gave you and also gave you the brains to understand. But somewhere a wrinkle crept in. And
called sin.
Called sin.
Yeah, the heavens declare the glory of God. Mm-hmm. So if we just look at the heavens, it's like, man, there's a lot of stuff out there. Yeah. You know, it's like 11 or 14 trillion stars out there. I mean, it's just amazing.
I mentioned that Don is a member of the board of Creation Moments, that organization, that ministry exists to accumulate and produce scientific information that explains and teaches the biblical story of creation. And you'd be well advised to pay them a call online at creationmoments.com. It's a brand new website, easy to navigate. There's a lot of good things there for you, and we highly recommend it. You can link to it from our podcast pages. That's where that link appears, or just go there directly, creationmoments.com. And Don, we thank you so much. Thank you for explaining dark matter. Now I feel like I got a handle on it.
Yeah, you can't see it, you can't feel it, you can't touch it.
That's right.
But you can't have a handle on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you can't.
Well, we'll pick up where we left off, wherever that is, next week then.
Very good. You folks have a wonderful week.
Thanks, Don. Bye-bye.